You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
God is moving, and He's helping us to grow in His Word. And that's exactly what we're planning to do over the next 8 weeks. In 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, we are going to see over and over real growth in real people in a real world. And again, we're going to be using this, and so I want you just to open up to chapter 1, and I want you to write two letters, put them together, W and E. Everyone say we, and I want you to notice as we read and reread through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, this is unique. We'll talk about it at different times, but this letter, you can write it right in your notes, we, and then be circling them or underlining them as we go. This letter was written by Paul, Timothy, and Silas, or Silvanus, right? But what I want you to know is that it was a team effort. It was meant to be read aloud to the community of believers in Thessalonica as they worship together. And we're going to do just that. When we look at the whole package together, what we see is that Paul is strengthening a growing church. The timeliness of studying 1st and 2nd Thessalonians cannot be underestimated for us. What we're going to see in the we is that Paul is strengthening a growing church. Now, the genesis of why we're doing 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians actually has some roots in one of our students in Gateway Youth. And Emma, if you would come, and I want you to come and share the story of you and your friend at the coffee shop and what God was doing as you were studying 1 Thessalonians in particular. And then you're like, P. Sean. And so tell Pastor Sean, by the way. I learned that last week in the baptism. I'm like, P. Sean.
It is P. Sean.
Anyway, Emma. This is Emma. Give her a hand, all right? All right, share a little bit what God's doing.
Okay, so I was reading 1 Thessalonians with Lily, and we were just talking about how God was just moving in that church and how He moves in different ways, and talking about like the power of conviction. And it really talks about how through all of your stress and all of your afflictions, God is always faithful and He is always good. And it talks about the power of prayer and how we should stay rooted in the Word. And we were really hammering on the fact that it talks about encouragement and like encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we were talking about this, this lady came up to us as we were literally talking about it, and she goes, I hope you know that like seeing this happen in you young people, like seeing you guys have a Bible study and reading the Word is so encouraging to see, and I just hope you know that, and it's so awesome to see you guys doing that, so keep doing it.
Love
and
it.
I was like, okay, that was God. Thank you. Like,
that's awesome. So. That was cool. And so then you're like, hey, Pastor Sean, we should study 1 Thessalonians. And so in the fall, our students actually studied 1 Thessalonians, went through week by week. And when we were looking at a series that fit between our Grow series and Easter, and I wanted to do some expository kind of chapter by chapter, line by line, 1 Thessalonians just came to the top, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and so that's what we're going to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to read, and you can follow along in your study journal, or you can look on the screen, and I've asked Emma to read the Word, and when she's done, I'll pray, and we'll get right into it.
Okay. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us in the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come.
Awesome. Lord, we thank you that your word is life. And Lord, for the timeliness of studying this in this season, Lord, I thank you for Emma and for her heart to not only grow in the word, but I pray that it be contagious here. And Lord, that we take it serious and Lord, put some things into action. Lord, we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm proud of you, Emma, Abby. You got to be proud, Mom. Let's give Emma a hand. Thanks for sharing. I love it. I love it. Hey, keep it down. No, just kidding. Just kidding. All right. Well, we're going to see some major themes throughout Thessalonians. We're going to talk about the faith and gospel. We're going to talk about resurrection and some eschatology, if you love end times. Well, that's like six times or more in the two letters. The Holy Spirit is a priority, mentioned six times, and hope and encouragement and prayer and thanksgiving and all these themes, but the overarching theme I want you to see is love. Now, before we get too far, let's talk about the background, the genesis of how Paul, who is writing with Paul and or with Silas and with Timothy, how did all of this come about? Well, this letter takes place during Paul's second missionary journey. He's writing from Corinth and sending the letter back to the church in Thessalonica. But Paul had a vision to go to Macedonia. And as he makes his way there, he ends up in Thessalonica, the capital city of the region. It was a large city. It experienced a lot of freedom within the city. But Paul and his team also experienced some strong opposition from Jews in particular. And so Acts chapter 16, we'll pick it up there. You can write this in. You can kind of reference it in your own regular Bible. This is what it says. That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, "Come over here to Macedonia and help us." So we decided to leave Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. The Apostle Paul and his team, they're just saying, "Lord, where do you want us?" They have this vision, and so he's going with purpose, and they establish a church there. This church in Thessalonica was founded, again, during Paul's second missionary journey. We pick up the story, the next chapter in Acts chapter 17. Paul and Silas, they traveled throughout the towns and came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue, a place to worship. As was Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service, and for three Sabbaths, everyone say 3 weeks, he used scripture, that's the Old Testament scripture, to reason with the people. He explained the prophecies and proved that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I'm telling you about is the Messiah." When Paul spoke, his priority was taking the Old Testament and pointing it to Jesus, making that a priority. He says some of the Jews who listened were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with many God-fearing Greek men and a few very prominent women. So Paul was there in Thessalonica for 3 weeks, only 3 weeks, but they had converts, many of them whom had roots in pagan worship and were learning an entirely new way of life. And after those 3 weeks, Paul is booted out. He is asked to leave. There's turmoil, and he's like, "All right, it's time." And in Acts 17, verse 10, a few verses later, says that very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea, a new place. And when they arrived there, no surprise, where did Paul and the team go? They went to another Jewish synagogue to do it again. Now, fast forward a few months later, Paul sends Timothy back to get a report. How is the church in Thessalonica doing? He gets a report back, And then at about a year later, Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, the first letter, 1 Thessalonians. And he's writing from the city of Corinth, and that's where we get 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 1, if you're taking notes, if you summarize chapter 1, you could say this. It's a celebration of growth. It's like Paul saying, writing in the letter, he says, man, you guys are growing and the world sees it. And we're going to take a look at that. Paul is giving thanks for the church's progress. He's defending his ministry. But we're going to look at 5 things today. You can write them down. The first thing that Timothy must have came back, he saw some measurable fruit, some visible fruit, and so they were celebrating just that. There were visible growth markers in the church of Thessalonica that Timothy could see when he visited. Let's look at it. Verses 2 and 3. It says, we give thanks for you always, constantly mention you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father. And then you want to pause here if you're taking notes or if you want to mark up your Bible, circle work of faith. They saw their work of faith and circle labor of love. And then the third is steadfastness of hope. Those 3 things in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here highlights faith, hope, and love for the first time. Now, how many have heard those 3 put together? There are places in Scripture, in the New Testament, several places, actually. I'll give you a few. You can jot these down. You can study these on your own time. 1 Corinthians 13:13, Hebrews 10:12 or 22 through 24, and then Colossians 1:4 through 5. But this is the first time we see this. And what Paul does, he leans into these 3. And I want to briefly look at the first, then the second, then the third. Let's look at the work of faith. Paul then breaks down these. And in first, he says the work of faith, or maybe betterly, that's not a word, better spoken would be a faith that works. Kind of reverse that, maybe write that in, a faith that works. Because what Timothy must have noticed is that their faith that was rooted in Jesus was outward. It was seen. It shows itself in good deeds, caring for each other, caring for neighbors, serving each other, all flowing out of their faith in Jesus. So because they had faith in Jesus, it caused them to do some work. This is not a private faith. It's a working faith. A great example of that, even just this week, there was a person in our congregation that reached out, sent me a Facebook post about someone that they loosely were connected with that had some serious needs. And as we looked at it, we talked about it, I said, hey, if you guys are able to do something, maybe the church can do something to match that, and we can do it as a combination. But even the idea, and we're still in process with meeting that need. But what's interesting is that because of what Jesus has done in one of our congregants, one of our the people that call Gateway their home, it moved them to do something, to put it to work. And that's, I think, what Paul is trying to get a hold of, encouraging us. I think that's what Timothy saw, the work of faith. The second is a labor of love. And it could be closely related. This is sacrificial. It's hard work. It's love that serves. And the motivation behind this labor is love, a love for Jesus, a love for others, a love that moves people to serve one another. How many know when you show up for someone over and over, and maybe they're a difficult person to love, maybe it's a messy situation, or there's some inconvenience, you say, why in the world would I do this? Or why has someone loved me in that way? Maybe you've been the benefactor of someone just reaching out over and over. The reason is because of the love of Jesus compels us. It's a labor of love for others. And then the third, he talks about a steadfastness of hope. And we're going to talk about the end times during this season or during this series a little here. But really, this is an idea of steadfastness, speaks of endurance. It It's a hope that lasts, a hope that holds steady even when circumstances are difficult. And if you're in a place where you are experiencing some difficulty, as this continues, we look at these verses, there certainly is place to hold on, to have hope. So the question I have for you as we pause here is, out of faith, hope, and love, which one of these is the most that needs your most attention right now? Can you just identify that just in your notes there? Jot it down. Which one, faith, hope, or love? When you think about that, your faith needs to be strengthened so you can work, or your labor of love needs to grow, or you're holding on in a difficult time. As you think of that, a commentator, John Stott, said this: the gospel is not only to be believed, but to be lived. It creates a new community whose faith works, whose love labors, and whose hope endures. He was commenting on these verses in particular. So, question, what else did Timothy see? He sees the faith, hope, and love, these visible fruits, but he also sees that what happened in Thessalonica is they got rooted in the gospel. Paul celebrates that this church is rooted. Look at verse 4 and 5. It says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel," or the gospel, "came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake." What we see here is Paul writing to the church and celebrating that they got rooted. By the way, when Paul talks about the word coming with power, with the Holy Spirit, full of conviction, this is my heart every single week in the pulpit, and whoever is standing in the pulpit, that the Holy Spirit would be motivating us, and to be, that's what makes the difference, to bring the word with power, with the Holy Spirit. That's what we want, isn't it, church? Amen. So the gospel, it's not just information. We take the gospel, the word, we put it to work in our life. We are an example, even in our speech. We add the Holy Spirit. You package that up. That's where we get rooted in the power of the gospel. If any of those things are missing, we converge and we got to be careful that hypocrisy is possible. But this church in Thessalonica did not just grow because of strategy or charisma. Church, it grew because it was rooted in the gospel. The gospel took root. We're going to end the service here in a few minutes with a song talking about Jesus being the foundation, the firm foundation. But when we look at these verses, this is the question I want you to answer. And you can jot it down, think about it now or later. How can the gospel, powered by the Holy Spirit with conviction, move from knowledge to power in your life? Think about it. And as you think about how the gospel can move from just knowledge to power in your life, I want to remind you of what N.T. Wright, another commentator, said. He said, "The gospel is not a philosophy or a set of private beliefs. It is an announcement that something has happened, and as a result, everything is different." When we get the Word of God inside of us, over these next 8 weeks, when we study 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, something will be different, and that's what happened to the church there. So Paul, he's celebrating the visible fruit. He's celebrating that they're rooted in the gospel, but there's also, they must have noticed that the church there endured some serious pressure. Let's look at it. Verse 6 says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord." And we're going to come back at the end of the service to look at the word imitators. "For you received the word with much affliction." There were issues. It wasn't smooth sailing. There were antagonists. There were people that were against what was happening in the church. But they received the word with much affliction and with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, I can connect this back to our Grow series just a few weeks ago with the idea of pruning, or the idea that the winds and trials will come for sure. What happens here is Paul shows us that affliction plus joy equals we become an example for others. You say, how is that possible? Well, it's a choice. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus at work in us through our hardship. When people experience hardship but continue to live with joy in the Lord, it becomes a powerful witness. We see it in Scripture. Paul and Silas, a little later, they get thrown in prison. They're singing praise and worshiping God, and the whole jail gets saved. Even the jailer gets saved. We saw it a couple weeks ago with the testimony of the Hardys and the Bosses. One family, they had a tragedy with their daughter. The other lost a business and lost everything. But they counted it joy. You say, how do you do that? It's only because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of you here, I know you're facing some hardship. I'm facing some hardship in this season. And I'm choosing to ask the Holy Spirit to make up the difference with my attitude, with my strength, and all the things. Let's ask this question. You might want to jot this down. Where might God be using pressure or trouble to strengthen your faith rather than weaken it? And the only way that can happen is with the power of the Holy Spirit. But what pressure, what issues are you dealing with where your faith should be growing? You need some joy rather than it weakening. It's possible that you're in a situation where you're thinking about turning away, saying, man, this is it. I'm at the end of my rope. And I just want to challenge you. Lean in to what God offers. The church in Thessalonica, they experienced some difficulties. They endured some pressure for sure. And then the last thing, or no, not the last, but they also became a witness. And it was kind of a carryover. But Paul celebrates this. Look what it says. They were a sounding forth, right? It says here, not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. I love this. Church, the gospel sounded forth from them. They went out, and in many cases, they didn't even have to say a thing. Their transformed lives spoke loudly. That's what God wants. A life that has been transformed is notable. People will notice it in your life. This reminds us that it's not just the preacher's job to be a witness. And yes, I want to be a witness. I want to share my faith. I want to be a good example. But here, Paul is writing to the church, to the congregation, and he says, from you, the gospel has sounded forth. It was all of us making the difference. The church became a mouthpiece of the good news. So, the question here with these verses is, who is your one? I know I mentioned it earlier, but the one, we talk about it, reaching one more. We pray and ask the Lord to put someone in our lives that we don't want to see heaven without. We would hate to get to heaven and they missed it for some reason. And so, who is the one? Who's the one person in your life? And I want you to write that question. And if you know who your one is, I want you to write their name. And could we believe that over these next 8 weeks, before Easter even, that they would come, they would be a part, or God would use you to take a step in the right direction to lead them to Jesus? Who is your one? Tim Keller, another commentator, says this: the gospel does not just produce individual change. Not individual change, it creates a community. Look around what God is doing, whose life together becomes a witness. Can I just say, the reason we started with some testimonies of God and what he's doing in growth is to match what was happening here in 1 Thessalonians. Timothy came back and reported some good things, and Paul, he's celebrating these things. He also ends this chapter by celebrating the hope of future that Jesus is coming back. Let's look at it. Verse 9 and 10. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we have among you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And this is the key, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. They believed that Jesus was coming back. In fact, some of the Thessalonian people believed that he had already come back. And so there is some correction that will be coming. But this is the idea. Paul is celebrating the hope they have. The church lived with expectation. Repentance led to a new life, right? And they understood something powerful, that Jesus is coming back. That never gets old. We serve a Savior that died, that was buried, but then he rose again, and now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has promised to come back for his church. That's so important. In church, growth is not just about knowing more. We don't just know or get knowledge. It's becoming more like Jesus while we wait for his return. We're waiting. We're longing for that. Waiting for Jesus should change the way we live right now. The fact that he's coming back should make a difference. In fact, let's look at this question. How are your priorities, your choices, your hope shaping the way you live in light of Jesus' return? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Let's leave that up there just for a moment. Let me read it again. How are your priorities, your choices, the way you're living, and your hope of the future shape, how is it shaping the way you live in light of Jesus' return? Church, the Lord, he is stirring, and throughout this book, throughout these two letters, we are going to see, and I would encourage you to write these three, we're going to see real growth with real people in the real world. The gospel produces real growth in real people in the real world. And we're going to see that over and over as we travel through each of these chapters, taking one a week. And I love this. Real growth in real people in the real world. It's going to apply to us. I want to go back as we close to verse 6. The word imitators is used here. And the question could be, how could Timothy tell how the church in Thessalonica was doing when he went back to check on them? Well, he could see the change, the growth, because they were imitating Paul and Silas and Timothy. There was motion, there was action. Paul is not correcting a broken church here. He's celebrating the growth. He's celebrating what God is doing. He's strengthening them. And it's interesting that last week, or 2 weeks now ago, Pastor Ross McElroy, who's sitting over here, give everybody a wave there. Wake up. No, I'm just kidding. He's over here. We were talking about this. We were saying, hey, how would you know? Our word for the year is grow. And he challenged me. He's like, hey, what are the metrics? Or how would you know if you're growing? Or, and it's not just numeric and all these things. Well, I think 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, to some extent, helps us to answer that question. We grow when we become imitators of the gospel. Or we find someone that's doing it, that's in the Word, that's reading the Word, praying every day, that's full of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and you say, hey, I'm going to follow their example. I'm going to do my best to be like you, fill in the blank. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. This is Paul talking. He says, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. If there's no one in your life that you feel like you could imitate, you could go to Paul and look at his example. He says that. follow my example as I follow Christ. Imitate me. This is a life verse for me. It's part of my mission statement for my life, that others could follow my example. Now, am I perfect? Absolutely not. Not even close. Jessica could share, but she's not going to. Was Paul perfect? No. But we strive to be more like Jesus. We try to incorporate good habits. We try to avoid harmful things. And when we do, our life grows. And there will be visible growth, faith, hope, and love. You'll be rooted in the gospel. Maybe you finished the 30-day challenge that we had for the month of January. And today is February 1st. Why not commit to another 28 days, another month, saying, hey, I'm in. I'm going to be in God's word on a daily basis. Some of you might be under pressure, maybe dealing with hard things. Look at the church in Thessalonica. They endured some pressure, but ultimately they became a witness, and we all can be a witness. We all can be a witness as we look forward to the future hope that Jesus will return. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in a nutshell. We're going to close with a song about Jesus being our firm foundation. But before we do that, if you are here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we want to invite you to join us on our journey. It's the best decision you would ever make. Scott, am I right? The best decision you made last year, gave your heart to Jesus. There's others in the room that have served the Lord a long time. I can't imagine dealing with troubles and trials without Jesus. Today, we offer the gift of salvation. It's a free gift, but you have to receive it. If you're here and you're saying, man, I've sinned, I've messed up, that's the first step. You admit that you're a sinner, and then you put your belief, your hope in Jesus. You believe that he died, he rose from the grave, and then you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. We'd like to help you with that. If you're here, you're saying, yeah, that's me, I need that. I'm going to just ask everyone to bow your head, close your eyes here for a second. If you're here and that's you, I'll leave the lights on for my sake, just for a second. If you're here and you would like to make that decision, just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want to connect. We've got some tools that we can put in your hand. Who second service would say, yeah, that's me. I need Jesus. I need that. Yes, thank you, sir. In the back. Anyone else saying, yes, that's me. I need my walk with Jesus. Or maybe you've fallen away and you're saying, boy, I need to come back. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? For the sake of the one, could I just lead us in a prayer? And if you're online, you can say this prayer as well. Right in the chat, we will follow up with you. Say, I'm accepting Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But could we just all say this together? Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for the sin in my life.
I'm sorry for the sin in my life.
Please come in.
Please come in.
Take away my sin.
Take away my sin.
Make me clean. I believe in you that you died on the cross and you rose again for me. I will serve you all the days of my life. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that everyone stand and we're going to respond. Pastor Bobby, as the Lord leads you there, and we're going to just sing a song about God's firm foundation in our lives.
I just thank the Lord this morning for who he is, for what he's done, for what he's going to do. Lord, just like Paul celebrated to the church in Thessalonica for what you were doing in and through them, Lord, we celebrate what you are doing in and through us. Lord, as a congregation, as an assembly, but Lord, also personally. That though, Lord, our sin was red as crimson, Lord, it's now as white as snow. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, for what you've done, that we are redeemed, that we are set free. Lord, and you are doing a work in us, a continual work, Lord, day by day, hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute, but Lord, you're doing it. Lord, and we thank you. And Lord, help us to be people who live out faith and hope and love in our lives, Lord, that we would be people who have a faith that works, works produced by the faith we have in you, that it would be an overflow of our relationship with you, a celebration of the one who gave everything for us, us just repaying back in faith and faithfulness to him. Lord, help us. Lord, the scriptures say even demons believe. Even demons have faith, but Lord, give us a faith that has action and movement behind it. That will be made known for more than just what we believe and what we know, but for who we are and how we live that out, Lord. And we know that takes a labor of love, that it takes being inconvenienced, it takes being sacrificial. And Lord, again, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in action and in truth. Let it not just be some fleeting feeling, but let it be grounded in you and in your sacrificial love. That we might be imitators of you, picking up our cross and following after you. And Lord, we do so with the hope that you are coming back again to set things right, to make things right. And so, Lord, we have a hope for the future, a hope when things are wrong, a hope when things don't go according to plan. That you, Lord, you are the defeater of death. You are the one that wipes the tears from our eyes. And so, Lord, we thank you that hope doesn't put us to shame, but we can place our hope in you, and it gives us perseverance to pick up our cross and follow after you. And Lord, we know to be an imitator is a narrow path. To pick up our cross makes us look weird when other people are picking up swords and stones. But Lord, we do it for our ones, because Lord, you did it for us. So Lord, help us pick up our cross and follow after you. And Lord, we know that we will be empowered and strengthened by your Spirit as we leave this place into a lost, hurting, and broken world. Lord, we leave this place as imitators of you, that others might be imitators of us, all for your glory. Lord, we give you the praise, and we give you that glory and honor. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people say, amen, amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go in God's grace, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.